we're continuing it in our series where we're just talking about worship, and some people are like going, we're talking about worship again. This is like 5 weeks in a row. Well, the reason that we're going to spend a lot of time on worship is huge. It comes in so many different avenues and so many dimensions to it that it's hard to just kind of say this is worship. And the other reason that we're talking about worship is what we do. We worship something or somebody, don't we? And we want to make sure that our worship is focused on the right object. And the right object is God. God, what amazes me about worship is God, the creator of the universe, the one who has designed everything, the one that actually holds the foundation of the earth together, the one who has breathed life into you and into me, the very one that everybody finds their being in, says this to us, I want you to worship me. I mean, that's just staggering, isn't it? That God, as big as he is, that as majestic as he is, he says, I want you, the little created being, to worship me. And our response, I mean, what response should we have when the creator God says, I want you to worship me? What should our response be? It should be worship, shouldn't it? I mean, I know coming here this morning, there's a lot of people kind of got the blues right now because Michigan lost. I mean, but you worshiped during that game, didn't you? I mean, you were celebrating until the fourth quarter, and they blew it. And then the Michigan State fans are going, woo, yeah. I mean, Jim was telling me that the fans at the Michigan were in the big old house there were just stunned. There's just moments of silence going on because they were worshiping a game. Can you imagine if you and I would just start to worship God that way? And that would be a reflection of our life in this world. Because we've been talking about worship in kind of two areas. Is that we're worshiping God because who God is, because God is worthy. And so we're talking about this corporate worship that we just did. And we're talking about a very personal worship. But just imagine if we really came in here worshiping all week long, and we brought our worshiping in and we actually worshiped together. See, God is looking for people who are worshiping in spirit and truth, is what Jesus said. Spirit, when you're worshiping in the spirit, that simply is not some weird thing. What that simply is that you are marveling at what God has done. You are in awe that there's been an awakening in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ died to give us the forgiveness of sin. And you're just worshiping from your innermost being because of what he's done. And you're worshiping in truth. And the truths that we're worshiping are the truths about who God is, who he declares he is. We're worshiping what his word says about him. When we were singing all the songs this morning, that's what we were declaring, weren't we? We were declaring how great he is, how awesome he is. That he's a mighty Savior. I mean, those are things that we're declaring. We're worshiping in truth, and we're worshiping in spirit. But in the church setting, though, we've changed things up a little bit sometimes. In the church, sometimes, we've made worship about us, haven't we? And worship, we've been saying this whole time, is about God. It's for God. It's to God. It's about God. That's what worship is. And anybody agree with that? Because worship is all about God. But you and I, because we're self-centered, and I think it's because of we have a perspective, we have an opinion, and we think our opinion is the right opinion, right? Because I'm never wrong. Just don't tell my wife that. But we come in here and we think that worship should look like a certain way, and we make worship about music style. We start talking about worship being okay. The only way that you can worship is through an organ and through a piano. Or if there's a choir up here, or if there's a worship leader going like this with his hand, or if there's a worship leader with a guitar in his hand and there's jamming drums, then that's worship. See, we bring our opinions in here and think that a specific thing is worship. But can I just tell you what some of us didn't do this morning? We didn't worship. You said, well, we sang songs. Do you know it's not about songs? It's about the heart. It's about a lifestyle that is worshiping God and then coming in here and declaring these truths about who God is. Worship is so big when we're talking about worship. But when I'm thinking about this morning when I came into the church and I started thinking, man, we messed up. You wonder why I said that? I saw on a sign, it says 8:30, traditional, 11 o'clock, contemporary. We're so wrong. It's not about a music style, is it? It's not about a worship leader. It's not about a choir. It's not about hymns versus your standard choruses or your praise and worship. I mean, when you come in here, you think that worship is about you, but it's all about God. And when we come in here with the attitude of going, I think and I hope that they play this song, and if they play this song well, or I don't like that version of that song, or you come in here and you look around and you start having your attention on everybody else and what they're doing, not your attention on God, you're not worshiping. You're just going through the motion of it. And God despises that. He says, I want people who are worshiping in the Spirit and in the truth, meaning the way that he would say it is that I want them declaring who I am, what I have done, what I am and who I am, but then I also want their lifestyles to match up. I want this world to see that how they are living is what they are professing. That's real worship to God. I mean, you know, but we talk about instruments, we talk about specific songs, did we sing too many songs, not enough songs, we talk about all that stuff. And we think that makes good worship. Has anybody stopped for a moment and just asked God, God, what kind of worship's pleasing to you? God, what really moves your heart? God, what brings you delight? What really gets you, God? Is it a choir up here? Is it the pastor standing up in a suit and a tie? Is it a pastor in a t-shirt and jeans? Does that good worship to you, God? Is singing just hymns? Is that worship that moves you, God? Or maybe it's these rock and praises things where we've got the guitar jamming and the drums are pumping and we just are revved up. I mean, is that honoring to you, God? Is that worship? You know, I think God would just simply say, your focus is wrong. It's not on you. It's not about how you feel or what you get out of something, but it's all about me. It's all about declaring who I am through your words and through your lifestyle. We've been talking about worship, and as we've been talking about worship, last week we looked at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to kind of continue in that theme. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open them to Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to head there. Because I think what we have to get to understand is that there is worship that is acceptable to God versus worship that we think that is acceptable to God. Because I'm just personally tired of this. Churches dividing, Christians arguing over worship styles. It doesn't make any sense. One is not better than the other. One way of worship is not a better way to worship people. And I'm tired, or worship God, I'm tired of people coming in and going, you know, that wasn't worship. That doesn't work. The problem is you're coming thinking that you want to see something. You want this band to perform something for you so you feel something. That's not worship either. God says, this is what's good worship. And the author of Hebrews kind of writes this down, and he tells us what worship is pleasing to God. What kind of worship really gets God's heart and gets God revved up? And then it starts out in verse 15 is what we're going to start at. And it says, first of all, worship, the way that we worship is through Jesus. I mean, this is a huge statement that the author of Hebrews is saying, is that you and I cannot come in and worship God without Jesus. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and haven't surrendered your life to Him, you cannot worship the one true living God, because your worship would not be good enough. It's through Jesus that our worship is even acceptable to God. So if you think that your worship, because you raise your hands or because you fold your hands or because you sing loud or you don't sing, you think that's the best worship, none of that's acceptable unless it's through Jesus Christ. It's through His blood. And then you have the author saying, okay, first of all, it's through Jesus. Through Jesus is how we worship and what makes our worship even acceptable to God. In fact, there's not a thing that any one of us could say that's acceptable to God except through Jesus. When you came through here this morning, nobody kind of asked you, just, you know, saying, are you ready to worship? are you good enough to worship? Nobody took a sin poll and said, okay, this person sinned this many times. Can I see your sin meter? You can come in and worship if it's at this level. No, it's all through Jesus. He's the one who's empowered it. He's the one who gives us the ability to worship and acceptable and pleasing to God. This morning as we sang, you know what the sweet aroma was? Jesus. And our praise is going up to God through him. Yeah, this is a big, big theological statement that he makes here. But you can't worship, and I'm just saying this, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you can't worship the one true God. Those of you that are Christians, maybe you better start worshiping. Not just one day a week, but every single day of our life. Because of what Jesus has done. You think about what he's done. He loves you. He has poured out his love for you, and his love will never fail you. He's done all that. He's worthy of it. So he says, through Jesus, therefore, and I like the therefore is, since Jesus did all these things, and since our worship is through him, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Isn't that quite the statement? Since it's all about God, since it's all about who he is and what he's done, let's start living lives that are truly an act of praise, where we are continually praising God in spite of what life has thrown at us, in spite of what's going on, and in spite of how busy we are, in spite of my passions. Let's continually praise God because of who he is and what he's done. He says, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And well, what does that look like? He says, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And that's what we've been doing this morning, right? We're confessing the name of Jesus, who he is, that he's holy, that he's righteous, he's marvelous, he's majestic, he's awesome, he's God, he's creator. We're just worshiping him. We're declaring that with our lips and with our mouth, but he says it's not enough just to do it on Sunday for 1 hour, because 1 hour is not going to cut it. Maybe two if you go do something on Wednesdays, or maybe you have a Bible study that you go to. He says that's not going to cut it. Because of what Jesus has done, it's a life that's continually in praise. And it's off of our lips, and it's flowing off of our lips. Not only off of our lips, there are we just confessing, but it goes on in verse 16. He says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So what does that simply mean? That simply means that we profess with our mouths, we say who Jesus is and what he's like, but then the last part of that is that we have a lifestyle that is a reflection of who God is and what he's done. That you're doing good. Not you're doing good because you're trying to earn God's love. Not you're doing good to try to win more of his affection because he's poured it all out on you already at the cross. You're going to get you have all the love that you're ever going to receive from God and all the affection that you're ever going to receive from God because of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. He says you're not trying to earn something, you're not trying to win it, but you're doing things, your lifestyle looks different because of who he is and what he's done for you. So you do good things, he said, and you share with others. I keep hearing this from people, Christians. I just don't have time to do church. I don't have time to meet with this person. I don't have time to share my life with other people. The word of God says, very simple, that we're to love God, and we're to profess God, and we're to declare him, and then we're to do good, and we're to share our lives with one another. He says that type of worship, that type of lifestyle, and that type of profession with your mouth, those things are pleasing to me. He says when our lifestyle matches up to what we profess, then I am pleased. I remember doing inspections, and I did inspections for different realtors, and there's this really big realtor. I mean, not really big, like as in size-wise, but as in he did lots of volume of houses. This guy was the shaftiest, shadiest, unethical person I've ever met in my life. I visited a church, and lo and behold, the guy was right up front. His arms were spread wide open, and he's got tears bawling, and he's doing all these weird things, and that's fine, however you express yourself. But you know what? I just looked at that, and I thought, that is despicable. I know who you really are. God knows who you really are. You can't hide that from God. Your lifestyle, you're unethical. You do not love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I'm not judging him. I'm just going based on what I have seen in his life. And God is going, that's not good. That's not worship. Great show. Keep professing with your mouth because those are true about me. But your lifestyle, that is not good worship. It's only when our lifestyle matches what our lips are confessing is our worship pleasing to God. There's a definition that I gave you last week about what worship is. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God. For who he is, exclamation point, and for what he has done, exclamation point. The reason that we put those there, those are the two focuses of our worship. Expressed in and by the way things we say and the way that we live. That definition may be long, it may be awkward, it may be kind of like, oh, that's kind of a whole mouthful. But the reason that it's so long is worship is very complex, and it involves us professing what God has done, and then what who he is, and then our lives are respond. We respond to who he is and what he's done by living a lifestyle that is pleasing to him by what we say and what we do. That's worship. Worship has nothing to do with this band or an instrument. Did you know that? In fact, did you know that the object of worship this morning is God? Did you know that this band, they weren't the object? They weren't here just to entertain you. They weren't here just to perform a great, great song. I'm not here just to challenge you in God's word either. You know what I'm here for? You know what they were here for? To help guide you into the presence of God. To help you to reflect on who God is and how glorious he is. And we're trying to guide you to the feet of Christ. We're trying to show you that worship is worth it. You know, a lot of times you come in here and you think it's a spectator sport where you sit there like at a football game and you just sit there. And you can worship how you want. So don't hear that. I'm not saying anything about how you worship. But you sit there and you just sing songs, but you don't really think about those songs. Do you know who the audience is? You think you're the audience. You're not the audience. Did you know that? God is the audience. He is the audience every single time we worship. And when you come in here, instead of going, okay, what am I going to receive? What am I going to get? It's more of us going, here I am. And God, this whole last week, here's how I lived it for your glory. Because I'm worshiping you with my whole being. And after all, God deserves our worship. And the way that we worship is there's a response that happens when we have the revelation of who God is. When we have revelations about how loving he is, how merciful he is, how he saved us, we start to respond and our life starts to model who he is. Let me just ask you this morning, how was your worship this morning? Did your worship register in God's heart? It's a fair question, isn't it? Let me ask it in a different way. You know what this is? An arrow? Hunters, come on. You know this is an arrow. You can talk. I know that. What do you do with an arrow? Shoot it. What do you shoot it at? Typically, if it's not an animal. A target. Yes. Like, you know, what specifically? What's in the middle of the target? Bullseye, yes. So I'm going to ask Jeff, since he's right here, to help me out, Jeff. All right. I know you guys are thinking I'm crazy because I'm giving Jeff a weapon in church. Okay. That's kind of a dangerous thing. Now, Jeff, what I want you to do, I want you to find the target, and I'm going to give you 5 seconds to find the target. And if you guys can help him, but so there's somebody over here who can't help Jim because he was here first service. So I'm going to count to five, and I want you to find. I want you to find the target. One, two, three. That's probably about 6 seconds. Anybody see the target? myself. Ouch, man. That's probably pretty true. I got a bullseye on me, don't I? Here's a target. Now, Jeff, I want you to do something without getting me. I want you to see if you can really get that bullseye. Just push right through. Just, there you go. Oh, no. You see, often we come in here together and we worship and we don't even know what the target is. The target is God. The target is us focusing upward on Him and just dwelling in Him and living our life for Him. God says that the type of worship that He's looking for is in spirit and truth. And it's only when we hit the target that we actually will pierce the heart of God. And it matters, well, you know, when we come in here, because I think a lot of people are just coming in here and they're just kind of randomly taking their arrows and we're singing these songs and we're going, praise you, God, you are holy, you're mighty, you're awesome. And we're just pulling those and shooting those in all these random directions, but we're not looking for the heart of God. We're kind of missing the mark because of what happens is we don't really think about how we're living our life. You know, everybody believes we got to worship, right? And God's worthy of worship. We believe that. But quite often in the Christian circles and in our culture, we think it's okay to live our life how we want to live our life. Any way that I see fit. God says, you cannot worship me and have a lifestyle like most of you are living. A lifestyle where you are at the center. A lifestyle where partying defines who you are. A lifestyle where you're unethical. A lifestyle where you just shred people. I mean, every time you see somebody, you just nitpick everything about them. In fact, you don't like my shirt. You've been saying that this morning to me. You don't like it. I don't care. But we're just good at bashing people. We're good at tearing them apart. We're good at stealing. We're good at lying. And God's like going, but you come in here. And you come in here and you go, you're holy. You're righteous. You're an awesome God. You're mighty to save. We say that. But you know what happens? That arrow hits. And it misses its mark every time. Because God's going, wait a minute. Your life does not match up. Yeah, it's true that I'm mighty. It's true that I'm awesome. It's true that I'm holy. But when you launch your arrow, I want it from your heart. Some of you should have came in here this morning instead of just kind of went through the motions of worship and kind of went, whatever, we just did these songs. And oh, he's holy, he's mighty. Maybe your arrow should have been this. God, I come in here this morning. I have been sinning all week long. God, my view of my life is all about me. It's not all about you, God. I was not faithful in my job. I wasn't faithful to you. God, forgive me. And then you launch that arrow. You know what God says? It's reached my heart. Because that's worshiping in spirit and truth. Not just going through motions. Not thinking that this is just an entertainment thing that we're doing. But really, really getting down to what's going on. And is your life matching what you're professing on Sundays? The two go hand in hand. And if you look at your life and you can see that it's full of sin and you're far away from God, then just take time to confess it and repent. That brings glory to Him. That's what He's desiring most of all from us. He wants our hearts, and He wants to know that our hearts are solely focused on Him every day of the week. But Kelly, I'm so busy. I got so many things in my life going on. Everybody does. Let me ask you, last week we asked and we said that worship is corporate and personal. And I asked you as you left, did you do something personal for God last week? Did you write Him a little letter saying how wonderful He is? Did you maybe help somebody that was in need that you knew that nobody else was going to help them? And maybe you wouldn't get any glory, but God would get glory? Did you just marvel at God? I mean, I can just tell you this last week, I couldn't stop worshiping. In fact, I came in here, I was so tired from worshiping. Because I don't know, I'm getting old, I guess, because I'm waking up in the mornings like at 5 o'clock. They say that happens when you get old. So the sun's not even up yet. And then I went out on my deck, and all of a sudden the sun starts kind of coming over. And man, it hit the top of the trees, and then it started coming down the trees. And it's like my yard lit up in fire because of all the colors. And I started going, oh, God, you are incredible. God, you're marvelous. And then we went out on Briarwood Golf Course. Mike, I'm not promoting your golf course, but it's a good golf course. But it went out on Briarwood Golf Course, and there's a pond there, and the ponds were just like glass. And these trees, they got maple trees. They're mammoth, and they're just reflecting off of this like mirror of a pond. And I'm just like going, oh God, you are so awesome. And I walked around their back nine for, I must have been about an hour or so, just going, wow, 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 wow. And then yesterday, my daughter and Cody were over. I had little Lyle, and he's beating on the table like this. He's got a grin from ear to ear. You know what I started doing? God, you are incredible. God, you're amazing. Thank you for blessing me with such a sweet grandchild. And I'm looking at Cody and Alex, and I'm saying, God, thank you. Thank you that they're trying to bring Lyle up in your ways. And God, and I thank you for your faithfulness that one day he's going to come to know your son as Savior. And it's like a life of worship is what he's calling us for. He says, in light of who I am, in light of what I've done for you, this is the response that I ask of you. I want your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, 24/7. Everywhere you go, I want you to have praises on your lips. And I also want you to do something. Do good for other people. So I looked for ways personally that I could do those things because I want my life to be an act of worship to God. And as I read these scriptures, I started going, this is what God is talking about on Sunday mornings. When we launched that arrow, that we are truly, truly living out what we're professing. Not just some game. Not just a show in front of other people. But a show behind the scenes for our God. And when we start to worship him like that, he goes, love it. That's incredible. That is worship. I don't care about an instrument. I don't care about a band. I don't care about an organ. I don't care about a choir. But worship me with your life. In the lifestyle. So our goal in worship is to hit God, isn't it? And hit him right in the heart with our worship. So in this definition, I just want to focus a little bit on the two part of this definition that we have, where it says that worship is to God. And I'm having a hard time seeing because I'm getting old. It says for who he is and for what he has done. Expressed in and by the things we say and the way that we live. So our worship is to God. How is it to God? How do we continue to worship God in spite of our lives, in spite of what's going on? We express to him worship. We say, we're worshiping for what you've done and what you're doing. You're saying, I can't always worship God because my life gets hectic. It gets overwhelming. It becomes so dark at times that I just can't even utter a word of worship because when I look around and you say, worship God for what he's done. When I look around at my life, I cannot see God anywhere right now. In fact, I am praying and every time I pray, it's like my prayers hit the ceiling. They bounce back right down in front of me. And as I try to search for God, I just can't find him. How do you worship, Kelly? Well, the good part about this definition is there's two parts of worship. And the way that we really get connected to God in worship and have a lifestyle of worship is if we put these things together and they go hand in hand. We worship God for who he is and what he's done. And sometimes in your life, you can't always worship for him or find him for in the things that he's done. So you have to go and you have to start worshiping God for who he is. You see in your bulletin, Janelle made this list, and it says he is. He is full of grace. He's holy. He's sovereign. He's loving. So when you're in that time where you just can't seem to worship, you're going, God, this is what I know is true of you. and I'm worshiping you through these things. And the psalmist had it right. And the psalmist says it in Psalm 96, verse 1. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord praises his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. And he says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. And I love that verse 4. Circle that, highlight it in your Bibles, because it says that for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And then I like what it says. It says he is to be feared, but I think we need to be put awe. I mean, because I don't tremble because I'm fearful that God is going to kill me or get rid of me because he's showing me mercy and grace through his son. But I'm in awe of him. I'm in awe of who he is. I'm thankful for who he is and what he really is. He is holy. He's just. And he says he's glory. He's got marvelous deeds. And this is what the psalmist is just proclaiming. And then verse 5, he says, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. In verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. And the psalmist got this, that we worship God. We worship him for what he is doing and done. But we worship God for who he is. He's like going, he is glorious. He is awesome. He is splendor. He is holiness. But he's also saying, your deeds, I marvel at what you've done. So you want to have a life of worship? You marry these two things together. And you don't separate them. Because worship is when we're worshiping in spirit and truth. And we worship in spirit and truth when we focus on who God is and what he's done. And sometimes we just say, God, you're doing amazing things in my life. God, you're doing amazing things over here. You're doing amazing things. God, I just praise you. I just worship you. And when you come in here, you've been saying that all week long. You come in here and you start expressing stuff. And because your lifestyle looks like it, all of a sudden you're worshiping. And God is going, oh, that's good. That is so good. That's what I want. That's what I desire. Not a style, not an expression, but your heart and your lifestyle. But there's a problem, though, in the church. We've made worship something that it's not. We've made it so focused on music. We've made it so focused on just an hour out of the week, and we think we worshiped. That's sad. Our lives are supposed to be a living sacrifice. They're supposed to be a continual praise to God. Everywhere we're at work, at home, in the car, on the highway, at the restaurant, that's supposed to be our life of worship. Not just 1 hour here. 1 hour doesn't get it. And I think these words out of Isaiah, as we kind of use these to kind of close the service, they're kind of heavy. But I think they're words that God is talking to our church and the church as a whole about our worship because of what we've made it. And Isaiah, just kind of picture God showing up here on a Sunday and just speaking these words. And for yourself, ask where your worship hits God. Is it on target? Hitting him right in the heart, or is it over here? And he goes, nice words, but that's not you. That's not your lifestyle. He says, hear the word of the Lord. This is verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 1. You rulers of Sodom, listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of sacrifices, what are they to me? And they're bringing sacrifices and over sacrifices. And God's like, what are they to me? When we come together as a body, when we just come in here and we just sing those songs and we say, there's our act of worship. I believe what God is saying, he's saying, those don't mean anything unless it's from the heart. Unless it's been a whole life, a whole week of worshiping me. And you're saying, I'm professing who you are and I'm living it out. He says, if you're doing those two things, then it means something to me. But if you're just going through the motion, it's meaningless. And he says, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have had more than enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and the lambs of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? And, I mean, I asked you to come into my house and worship me. I didn't ask you just to go through the motion. I didn't ask you just to keep putting things on the altar just out of meaningless worship, but did you come in with your heart? You come in with your confessions. You come in with your delight of who I am. And then he goes on, and just imagine him standing here saying, stop worshiping. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I can't bear your evil assemblies. Can you imagine him saying that to the church? That's what he says when we just go through the motion of worship and it's not a lifestyle of worship. He says, it's pointless. It's useless. They don't mean a thing. And look what he says next to these people in verse 14. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feast, my soul hates them. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Look at what it said in 14 again. Your new moon festivals. I mean, they're having all these festivals, these services to worship God, to put God on display. And they're going through all these religious things. He says, your appointed festivals, my soul it hates. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. This is what happens when we don't come here and worship through Christ. This is what comes here when we come here and we just sing these praise songs and our lifestyle does not match up with who God is and what he's asked us to be. He just says, I'm weary of it. I'm tired of it. I am looking for people who are going to worship in spirit and truth. I have all kinds of religious people. That's not what I want. I want spirit and truth. And then he says, I'm going to skip there, Kenny, to Isaiah, to verse 16. He says, your hands are full of blood. In 16, he says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what's right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the case of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. God's like, come on. Worship is about, yes, verbally saying who I am, but it's about living your life for me. And then he says, come on now, let's reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God's like, going, come on. I see all things. I know all things. When you come here to worship, will you just have a conversation with me? Will you start worshiping with your heart and your soul and your lifestyle? And he says, and if you come in here and you put that on your arrow, saying your confessions, this is what I've been doing. I've been living all week partying. I have been living all week cursing. I've been living all week. God, I am sorry. Forgive me. Show me how to live a life for you. And you launch that arrow. He goes, that's good. You know what a life of worship is? Not cheating your boss out of hours. A life of worship is treating people like they're not disposable. A life of worship is doing good things for people. A life of worship is making sure that when you walk out of here, you don't just walk past somebody that's in need or somebody that you know that's been going through a rough time and you just ignore them because you don't have enough time. It's a lifestyle of worship. If you're a student, a lifestyle of worship for you is doing all your papers. Turn them in on time to the teacher. Why? Because the teacher says, how come those Christians don't turn their homework in? They're just lazy slackers. They don't do anything. And maybe you turn your homework on time and doing the best of your ability to get good grades, the teachers will go, oh, they're decent people. See, I've heard waiters and waitresses say this about the church people. We leave here on Sunday, we go out to eat, and we're rude. We're obnoxious. we don't get our meal the way that we wanted, or we'll get something just what we wanted, and what do? We scream, we yell, we throw temper tantrums. We treat them like dirt. And then when we leave, they say that we tip the lowest. You see, an act of worship is going, I'm going to be merciful to people. I'm going to show grace and mercy. Can you imagine how we would change the world? So I'm just asking this week, evaluate the arrows that you're launching. Does your lifestyle match up with what you're professing? If not, ask God to give you the ability to change it. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, when we think about worship, I would ask, Lord, that you just give us a heart that desires you, a heart that desires more of you, a heart that's willing to change, a heart that's willing to live every single day with praises on our lips and offering ourselves as a sacrifice to you. God, help us to see that the only true worship that is pleasing to you is one where we are worshiping you for who you are, and we're letting you consume our life and becoming what you want. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.